This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
It's coming up to 48 minutes past 7 a.m. on this Wednesday, August 15th. Han, Joyce, and our guest host, Giri, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. We're going to take a look at the local business headlines in just a bit. But here's a quick reminder. After the 8 a.m. news bulletin, we'll have the breakfast grill. And this morning, we'll have Pascal Nouvelon, Managing Director for Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and Brunei for Michelin Tires. And Giri will be speaking to Pascal. Keep in mind, Michelin is the second largest tire maker in the world.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say, his plans moving forward, the business model of the company. And that's all. Yeah, Giri, are you excited by the grill?
Very excited, yeah.
Yeah, first one, right? All right, time to pop the cherry. Okay, so that's, again, coming up on the breakfast grill after the 8 a.m. news bulletin with Michelin. All right, and now let's turn our attentions to the broader Malaysian economic story. Let's start with Fitch. Now, Fitch has affirmed Malaysia's sovereign credit rating at A- with a stable outlook. So perhaps this provides some measure of relief for market observers, you know, with this announcement from Fitch.
Yeah, so they're saying that the rating is supported by solid economic growth and a net external creditor position build-up from a record of current account surpluses.
So these strengths are offset by elevated government and private sector debt, low per capita income, and World Bank governance costs relative to rating peers.
All right, now speaking about debt, right, so some of these numbers that Fitch have adjusted. So, for example, Malaysia's government debt to GDP ratio has moved up from the previous 50.8% of GDP, now up to 65% of GDP. That's in Fitch's latest announcement. This comes after the government of the day has recognized that it needs to service a large share of explicitly guaranteed debt. So that number there has been again moved upwards to 65% of GDP.
Actually, Han, I think Fitch also has a view on the measures taken by the Harapan government to repeal the GST and to continue fuel subsidies in place since early 2018 as negative for Malaysia's credit profile.
Yeah, no, but at the end of the day, it's still an A- with a stable outlook. They still outline the upside risks and also the downside risks. So the ones that you mentioned there, Joyce, those are seen to be negative for Malaysia's credit profile. There are some things on the upside as well. So in terms of the fiscal deficit, they expect Malaysia's fiscal deficit to fall to just about 2.5% of GDP by 2020. I think you recall that the initial fiscal deficit target for this year was about 2.8%, I believe. There's some slippage expected, of course, but given, well, I think the initial expectations were that we would achieve a near balanced budget by 2020. Looks like that's all thrown out the window right now. The new target is 2.5% of GDP, that's for the fiscal deficit by 2020, and that's according to Fitch.
Also by 2020, they're saying that the government debt is also likely to decline to around 59% of GDP, although the decline could be more rapid if the government chooses to sell off public assets and use proceeds for debt reduction.
Yeah. There is some upside risk of debt, though. Part of the contingent liabilities related to public private partnerships of around 14.9% of GDP may migrate to the sovereign balance sheet. Fitch also has noted that the country is vulnerable to shifts in external investor sentiment due to high levels of short-term external debt and foreign holdings of government debt.
All right, so again, they have maintained A- stable outlook. They've given their outlook on the fiscal deficit, also on the government's fiscal position, and also they've given the projections for Malaysian GDP growth. It's a pretty loaded document there from Fitch. So let's go through this one. So the Malaysian Malaysia's economic growth is expected to slow down over the next few years. This year, 5.2% compared to last year's 5.9%. Next year, 4.8%. So we're going below the 5% mark then. And then 2020, it's 4.6%.
Yeah, this is as the government seeks to constrain recurrent spending in line with its narrower revenue base. But also, actually, just to note, guys, Malaysia's average GDP growth for 5 years to 2018 will remain above peers' medians. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, no, look, you've got the government that is looking to rein in their spending, right? Limit all those leakages and what have you. And because at the same time, you're going to have to compensate for the reduced income, given that GST has been, is going to be abolished and SST is set to roll in within the next couple of weeks. So with that reduced government spending or public investment, that could dampen the economic growth prospects for Malaysia here. Although that actually ties in with what ideas and also Bank Islam has been commenting on in the papers yesterday and today. So in terms of the economic outlook, according to Bank Islam Malaysia Chief Economist Dr. Muhammad Afzanizam Abdul Rashid, Malaysia could face a recession by the end of this year or the next.
Whoa.
So read into that what you will.
Okay.
So he has given some suggestions to the government of the day about how to counter this risk. Ideas has perhaps pushed back a little bit on some of those suggestions, saying that, well, the government should not go down the road of expansionary policy, at least not to counter this risk of a recession.
Yeah, actually, the chief economist at Bank Islam said that the proposal that he gave to the government was to loosen up monetary policy and expand fiscal policies to fuel economic growth. Mm. Also suggested, I think, looking at this, reduce EPF members' contribution to promote consumer spending, as well as tax cuts to ensure GDP growth.
Right. So you've got Bank Islam saying something, then you've got ideas are pushing back. But yeah, I guess, they are highlighting this risk of a recession, according to Bank Islam, possibly by next year. So that's, risks within the Malaysian economy. And we are not immune to external risks as well. And this is something that Fitch highlighted as well, because, given the open nature of the Malaysian economy, while well diversified, it is still not immune to global risk as well. Earlier we spoke to Dodge about those trade tensions between some of the world's largest economies there.
Yeah, well, we do still have a saving grace because we are an oil exporting country. So that would actually give us some support in terms of our current account. Now, Fitch, of course, expects the current account surplus to remain between 3 to 4% of GDP right through from 2018 to 2020. Supported largely by oil-related exports. And, of course, we would have slightly slower import growth and a cut down in spending locally.
Yeah, and just to add some numbers to that, you've got, according to the CIMB Group Chief Economist, Dr. Donald Hanna, he says that Malaysia's economic growth could shrink or could contract by 1.3% over 2 years, but that's depending on the outcome of the trade war between the US and China. So that's an overview of the macroeconomic overview of the Malaysian economy. Let's now dive deeper into some local corporate news here. We've got one involving RHB shares and news that RHB's second largest shareholder, that's Arba Investment, could be selling or paring down its stake in RHB at a steep discount.
Yeah, so they're looking at selling almost 3% of its 17.75% equity stake in RHB. The story is in the Edge Financial Daily as well as the Star. They're looking at, ABBA is looking at the price to sell at between 5.07 ringgit to 5.18 ringgit per share. Looking at discount, as we said, 3% to 5% compared to what the bank's share price was trading at yesterday.
But more significantly, this share price is actually at a huge discount to the original cost of 10 ringgit and 80 cent per share when ABBA bought this stake from its sister company, Abu Dhabi Commercial Bank, in June of 2011. In fact, that deal was viewed as a little bit controversial as it was priced at a relatively steep 2.2 times book and created a high floor price, which then became a stumbling block later on for parties attempting for mergers with RHB in later years.
Yeah, that's right. So you got to ask yourself why, right? Why on earth is ABBA trying to pare down its stake now? And why now? Especially given, Joyce, you remember this. We were so excited, a few years ago. We were like, oh my gosh, RHB, CIMB,
yeah,
NBSB,
yeah.
You're going to merge and become this super giant, not just here in Malaysia, but also in the ASEAN banking scene.
Yeah.
And one of those roadblocks was the ABBA's reluctance to...
ABBA factor.
Yeah, the ABBA factor. Yeah. Right? Money, money, money. That's an ABBA song, right?
Oh.
Yeah, right. So, well, this is AABA. I know, that's so corny. I'm so sorry. No, but then, you know, here we are a few years later. Now, they sell off that stake at that huge discount. You know, once again, shoulda, coulda, woulda. What would have happened if they were willing to sell way back then at that same price?
It's actually part of the entire stake, so about 3% of the entire 27% stake that they have. Now, this issue, actually, the stumbling block for the party is empty. We had RHB, CIMB, MBSB previously also, who were looking at a proposed merger in 2015. And high valuations is one of the reasons why that deal actually fell through. Subsequently, also last year, we had EPF, which owned almost 41% equity in RHB, also bought merger decisions with the Arab Malaysia Holdings as well.
So right, So RHB, you know, they closed yesterday at 5.34 ringgit. We'll keep you posted as to how they react to this news flow in about an hour from now when markets open. But Joyce, this is in line with the struggles that some foreign entities have, you know, in terms of their stakes in local banks, eh?
Yeah, speaking about AMMB, Giri and Han, looking at the merger, they're looking at RHB AMMB that was aborted last year. ANZ is a foreign shareholder of AMMB, and there has been news that they've been wanting to sell their stake in AMMB for so long, for a couple of years now. Mm. Not just AMMB, they're looking at a whole, you know, the whole region of Asia. They're just divesting their stakes in banks here in Asia, trying to re-strategize, and so happened AMMB is in that basket. Until now, they still hold a stake in AMMB.
Right. So, you know, I guess it's a developing story. We'll continue to keep you posted. We've got the 8 a.m. news bulletin coming up in just a bit. And don't forget, after that, we have the Breakfast Grill. This morning, we'll have Pascal Nouvelon, Managing Director for Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia and Brunei for Michelin. Stay tuned. All that's coming up right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.